The Old Testament reading for Quinquagesima is from 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord,' and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to him, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon Daniel from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You may be seated. Christians view the world differently. You see, you live by faith in this world and not by sight. What does this mean? Well, your Lord Jesus teaches you what this means this morning in the gospel reading as he has saved you by grace through faith in Christ alone. Now, faith is a real thing with a real object. The blind man looks to Jesus because he knows he is the only one who can show him mercy. So listen again to this account of what happened. St. Luke records for us, "As Jesus drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, 'Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.' And he cried out, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" So here is this man, he's on the roadside, the side of the road, and he's begging. No doubt, countless people passed him right by. Maybe some looked down on him in his estate, looking the other way. This day, though, he hears something going on. This day is different. Something is different because someone different is coming his way. Jesus is passing by. And that means everything. Now take note of this first part. He knows something of Jesus. He's heard of him and what he has done, the miracles he has performed and his preaching to the crowds. The blind man knows he is someone special. Now, how he addressed Jesus as he is passing by is telling. He calls out Jesus of we hear Jesus of Nazareth first, and then he cries out, Jesus, Son of David. That's a messianic title. He attributes salvation to Jesus. He is the promised Messiah as God had foretold. This man passing by is none other than the Son of David, the promised Messiah. And so when he calls out to Jesus, then he knows who he is. He's wanting what Jesus gives, because faith receives Christ and his benefits. We are in grave error when we lose sight of that. When we think of having faith in Christ, perhaps we're tempted by many false images and voices that want us to think more akin to any number of things, popularly a support group. We think, my faith will get me through this, as if I can somehow look on the bright side of things and think, well, it could be worse. Now, there is some truth to that, but when faith is simply this alone, it runs into the danger of being on unstable ground or turning into an idol. Even faith can be an idol. Faith, saving faith in Christ, though, is so much more than that. It's a blind man crying out for mercy, even as people rebuked him, even as they tried to silence him. Faith looks to Christ and clings to his promises. So to live by faith is to remain connected to Jesus, crying out for mercy and receiving that mercy he gives out. We look away from ourselves, we turn from our sin, and look only to Christ and his forgiveness. It's to see him as he comes to us right now, this very instant, and also to know the future to come, trusting what he promises all the way. And it's to see all of this applied for you, applied to yourself. And it clings to the means of grace, word and sacraments, as the means by which you have faith. Last Sunday, we heard about the sower sowing the seed. That seed goes out. The people trust. It springs and gives fruit. So your faith is given, strengthened, and that is the way by which God keeps you in the faith, or the means of grace. These things are all connected. So this healing of the blind man then is connected to what happened prior in the reading. At the beginning of our gospel reading today, we have the apostles. And boy, are they missing the mark. It's hidden from them what Jesus said to them. But what Jesus said was very clear. He said, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. So today, on this last Sunday of this pre-Lent season, the Lord fixes your eyes towards Jerusalem by placing before you one who could not see with his eyes because he was blind. And though the 12 did not understand these words at the time, the blind man knew this Jesus passing by, who he was as the Son of David. The king has come to his people and heads towards the throne of the cross. Listen to this. Straighten up your hearts and your heads to see in faith your Lord who goes to suffer, die, and rise for you. Hearing all this today, then, you are called to be faithful. Salvation is received by grace alone through faith in Christ alone. Don't take this for granted. Don't grow complacent. No, hear and understand what all this means as you now stand on this side of the cross, the empty tomb, ascension, and Pentecost. To be the people of God, to be the church, is to be a people of faith. It's to be faithful in receiving the means of grace, for without the means of grace, you're not God's people, and there is no faith in Christ. Perhaps another place we do well to examine our lives today is also seen in the persistence of faith. Faith wants what God gives. It keeps wanting it, keep coming back to it, receiving it. This is a living faith. practical example of that for me as a pastor is heard when I talk to someone who maybe hasn't been to church in a while. What is the first thing the person tries to tell me? It's always, without fail, I have faith. And then the response to this I have given is, how? And then puzzling looks are given to me, and they're telling me because it clearly shows what happens when we separate faith from the object, or when faith has been defined into something as a quality within ourselves. And then there's often a discussion, and it turns into a lot of language like, well, my faith is this, my faith is faith because I know it, or because I, any number of things. That's a real danger when faith has become a quality rather than what we see in the reading and throughout the Bible, or knowing who Jesus is and does. Even the demons believe in Jesus, but they shudder at this. The epistle reading says, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. So faith, simply for faith's sake, God says, is really nothing. Go back then to the reading for a minute, and what did the blind man want? When told Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he didn't just simply say, I have faith, and then go on singing a George Michael song about faith. No, that's from the 80s, if you don't know. No, instead, I was born in the 80s, so don't get to me. No, instead, what did he say and do? He cried out for Jesus to have mercy on him. He wanted Jesus to come to him and do something. He wanted Jesus to come to him. He wanted Jesus to heal him, and not just to be a nice sentiment in his heart that he thought about as Jesus then walked along his way and thought, oh boy, what a nice guy. No. It's absurd and ridiculous, then, for him to not want to receive what Jesus gives. So our Lutheran confessions say this on more than one occasion. When we think about God's word and receiving the Lord's Supper, is simply what it means to be a Christian. To reject that is to reject the Lord himself. So the blind man believed in Christ and shows you what faith looks like as he clings to the promises of Jesus, and Jesus healed him. His words are words of praise. They call upon God's mercy. He teaches you then how you know God and how you look for him to act towards you in Christ. God is merciful to you. And there's confidence in this, too. And the trust and faith of the blind man shows what the Lord has given to you as well. And flowing from this faith as well is your new life of love that then lives in service to your neighbor. It's lived as God describes in the epistle reading. When St. Paul gave the Corinthians a bit of a tongue-lashing about their lack of love toward each other. 1 Corinthians 13 is always said in that big discussion about them not loving one another as the body of Christ. And so what St. Paul does, every time I hear that reading or read that, I always think of a father, right, when you tell your kids, hey guys, don't do this, this is what it is, right? Love does not hit your brother. Love does not hate your sister. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is what these things are. But so God teaches you what is good and true as you live in faith toward God and in fervent love toward one another. Your lives are to look to like this, which God says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So love, like faith, isn't an abstract thing, but it's active. And like faith, love isn't defined by how we define it, but rather it's seen in how God defines it. Simply saying, have faith, or love is love, make nice bumper stickers or social media posts, but beyond that, they say nothing. They do nothing. Faith apart from God's appointed means, or believing something different than God's word, is not the Christian faith. Love, defined by human sinful desires, or the latest whim and fad of the day, is not love, but in fact unloving, and harms people unto everlasting torment. Understanding your faith as given by God in Christ, and then lived out in love as a fruit of faith, is what God teaches you today, this Sunday before the start of Lent. Conform your hearts and minds to what the scriptures teach you. Examine your life, see where you have sinned, and repent. Confess your sin and look to Jesus. Cry out to the Son of David for mercy. See with your ears, looking to the Lord who loves with a perfect and everlasting love and is faithful at all times. He is the one who has gone to the cross for you, taking your sin upon himself. And in return, he gives you forgiveness, life, and salvation. And that is yours. It's given to you in the waters of your baptism. And so just as Jesus didn't pass by that man on that day, the Lord is here today as well. He's not just passing by on his way to somewhere else. You're not sitting here ignored by your Lord. No, you are the people of God crying out, Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. And your Lord has heard you. You are his people, and he stoops down even now to hear and answer your prayers. He says, I forgive you all of your sins. He says, take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Your Lord is here, and he has come today with healing, and your faith has made you well, or literally the text says, has saved you, because Jesus has done all things well, and he gives it to you. And likewise, notice, too, the boldness that comes from faith, too. There's a boldness that you have as God's people, the people of faith. So have the confidence to go each and every day walking by faith as you go through this veil of tears. Look at the world differently. See everything through that lens of his word and have it be that which shows you what is the true reality, what is good, right, and true. Listen again to that conversation between the blind man and Jesus. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has saved you or made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Your Lord God loves you, and he has shown you mercy. The blind man had the boldness in faith to say, Lord, I want my sight back. The Lord granted his prayer. He heard and answered it because the Lord is merciful. He is the one who has shown his mercy to you. Because your Lord knew what he must do when he said, see, we are going to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. Or the word there is also related to the word, it is finished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. But there was a purpose in all of this. It was accomplished all for you. So you have confidence today as you see what your Lord has done and what he still does as he is here for you. So rejoice with this blind man. Sing praises to the Lord who is near right now. Your faith, trust in Christ as you are baptized into him, as you are listening to his word, and as you take into your mouths the very body and blood of Jesus given and shed for you. So listen and taste and see the Lord is good, and how lovely is his dwelling place on this side of the grave. See all of this today in your God-given faith. See what was necessary for Jesus to do and what he willingly did all for your sake. See that in his life and perfect obedience to the law of God is counted to you. See his mocking, see his being shamefully treated and spit upon, see his suffering for your benefit, see his death on the cross as the atonement for your sin, and see that your sin is forgiven and God's wrath has been satisfied as it has been poured upon Christ in your place. And see that glorious resurrection from the dead that is at the end of the Lenten season as the proclamation that all indeed has been fulfilled, all has been accomplished, and that is what you will see on that final day as the Lord will raise your body up from the grave as well. So see from the blind man where you are to look here and now, all of this having been done. And even as you experience times of joy, times of suffering, times of trial, and even death, face them as ones who see them with faithful eyes, knowing these things have been overcome by Jesus, who endured all things in your place and promises you the day is indeed coming, not might, but will be, We're all sin, we're all suffering, we're all death, when all the crafts and assaults of the devil will come to an end. And know that your prayers now are heard and answered by your great high priest, who sits at the right hand of God interceding for you. Jesus is here for you, not passing you by, but takes your cries of mercy to the very throne of God. So thanks be to God this day for the faith given by the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God for his great compassion in Jesus, the Son of David, who has mercy on you. Fix your eyes on him. Cling to his promises today that he is yours and has saved you by his blood. Cry out to him at times knowing that he hears and answers you and will never forsake you. Look toward Jerusalem as Lent approaches, hearing and seeing your redemption accomplished by the one who stopped along the way to heal a blind man. Hear and understand this all done for you, and go, for your faith has saved you. And confidently and with eager anticipation and rejoicing, look forward to that day as well when your faith will end. And you will see the Lord face to face with your own two eyes, no longer stained by sin and all that it entails. And that will be a glorious day, indeed, to be before the Lamb on his throne, to join with all the saints in the unending hymn of glory that will not fade away. That's what you have. That's what awaits you as you look here and now and know that Jesus has done it, that he's here at this font, this lectern, this pulpit, this altar. Cry out confidently in faith, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.